And comes now the December 16th, 2021 edition.
living in the United States, it is our responsibility to resist the injustices done by our government in our names. Not in our name will you wage endless war. There can be no more deaths, no more transfusions of blood for oil. Not in our name.
And comes now the December 16th, 2021 edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Numerous reports from the flooded Benchlands area. In fact, that's the main focus of our show today. So listen in and stay above water.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So we're going to begin with a phone call I got. Gosh, it was pretty late at night, from Trey, who lives in a tent on the Food Not Bombs, the edge of the Food Not Bombs parking lot, as I call it, the parking lot next to the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union, Lot 27, where Food Not Bombs serves every day from noon to 4 or 5. And it's a little hard to hear in places, but it's real life, so bear with it. But today is December 13th, or about 8:15. I'm talking with... is it Trey or Troy? I can never get that straight, man. In any case, I'm talking with... where are you now? Where are you? You're in Lot 27?
Anyways, I'm in the tent with Cooper and Russ and...
I gotcha. So you're the food... Okay, it's kind of hard to hear you, I got to say, but go ahead. Can you, is it raining outside right now? Hello? Well, we'll see if we can get us back.
I'm still here, Robert.
Hey, man. Okay. So what's up?
Okay. Well, I wanted to report that when we hear two more storms are coming, the levee is getting higher and higher. The Benchland might be soon underwater. Also, I wanted to report that everything we have is really a soaking wet, and we're buying money for fuel, and we need candles and dry blankets and oxygen. Candles at Lot 27 and lighting and batteries, anything that can help.
Yeah,
I'd like it to get a report out for that.
Okay, you're looking for tarps, candles, what else?
Anything we can get, batteries, propane, anything. This is about 27. I can imagine that the vents and they're going to be needing dry blankets and water, weather gear. And if they're going to go up to their lungs, if they're going to evacuate, the police, we're told that the police were down there telling people that they need to evacuate, that the river is getting very high.
Can I give you a report from the field?
When have you been down there recently, or has anybody you know been down there in the last hour or two?
Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, Jimmy.
I haven't seen you in a while. Are you hiding from us?
Yeah, I dropped by, but Russ and Cooper were having a shouting match.
Oh, okay. How you been? How's your health?
I'm good, you know, hanging in there.
Well, we're the fire cap from the bank plant, okay? Local number 6921. It's been a
while. The river is almost cresting. They say it could crest tonight all the way up to the park. We get no love. We get no love from the county. Private citizens are coming and donating socks. People are dying from this fentanyl epidemic. It's really got a grip on this county.
And so people are dying from this weather.
Yeah, and it doesn't have this weather. Our city should be embarrassed for letting us. They should have something open for us, Mr. Norris. I mean, this has gotten ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some of us are set up to stay dry, but once you're outside of your tent, it's all over. You're soaked to the bone, and no respite in sight. No compassion from the people of Santa Cruz. And we've got people out here.
It could turn into an emergency real quick.
Yeah, it was almost emergency today. People were walking out of deep, they're soaking wet, cold to move their bodies. They're going to have to pull those things through. Tonight, we're not out of the bank plant, they're going to come and start throwing our belongings away.
So, Jimmy, are you living in the bench lands, or are you at 27?
Oh, I'm in the bench lands, sir. I'm at the forefront. We're in the trenches there, right across from the county courthouse. And we are looked at with disdain and disgust. A couple shouting matches between the common folk and the people down in Tennessee. We keep that place neat and tidy, okay?
We have daughters of America here.
Yeah, it's not good. This is 1984 all over again. You know, George Orwell, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So are you going back, Jimmy, to your camp, or are you going to be staying at the Lot 27 tonight?
I'm going back to Tent City. I'm going to stand my ground. I have legal rights. I'm a Native American here, sir, born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
This is my land. I don't have to live anywhere.
Now, do you have a phone, or is this, or are we just talking to you benefit of Trey's phone?
I'm on a cell phone for a friend here, and it just happened. I roll through and just try to find it's great to Troy put a call through to you. I was wondering about you past couple nights, where you've been, but you can find me right near where they have some wild goats and some chickens. Right at the left stairway from the county courthouse, you know. And come through and see me, and I'll let you know what's going on.
Do you have any way of being contacted by phone once you're back in the benchlands?
I will call you on a public phone if possible. I'll try to do that. What's your turn? Can you give me your number and I'll call you from the pay phone up there by the county building?
All right. If you're ready, you tell me when you're ready to get the number.
Yeah. Corey's going to take it down for me or somebody will take it.
You got a number up there?
Yeah. Go ahead. Fire off.
It is
423.
423?
4833. What is it again? The last four?
423-4833.
All right, it's been a pleasure to talk to you again. I'm glad that the situation is such that we were praying for rain. We got it.
Too much of it, yeah.
We know there's money. We know there's a warehouse they can put us up in. There would be no issue with insurance coverage. They're claiming that the pandemic was the cause, was generated with the homes population, and it started from there, and it just ballooned.
Jimmy, have you had any contact with the police today?
Oh, yeah. keep myself, you know, I try to keep myself, you know, I try to keep myself, you know, original. And I told him, man, you can't run us out of here. Where are we going to go?
Well, what did they tell you? When did they show up?
This morning they started coming through and said, you know, you got here, we hear that the river's coming up and you could be in danger. And then in the same sense, if you're not out of here, we're going to have to throw away all your belongings.
Wow. When did you leave? What's the last time you were at the bench lines? About what time?
This early afternoon. Early afternoon, right before dark. And the police went through and said, okay, if you're not out of here, we're throwing you out of here. Everybody's standing their ground. They went up onto the upper park, but they're standing their ground. There's a few of us renegades. And, yeah, they're trying to throw belongings, but everything in my framework. A friend of mine, she was going bananas, and I helped her get her stuff up. No compassion.
Are police allowing people to move their tents to the upper bench lands, the park?
They let you put them there, but they're telling you, you got to go elsewhere. Yeah, you can't really go there. You know what? We're between a rock and a hard place here. What's going on? What is really going on?
Thank you, Robert.
So are they saying, in fact, that they're not going to let you stay in your tent up in the park?
Yeah, they're trying to say you can't go to up top. They're trying to keep us up. And they may come bulldozers, who knows, in the AM and clean everything up down there. But we're not moving.
And what's the rain situation right now? Is it raining where you are?
It's on and off.
Gotcha.
Rain.
Gotcha.
Maybe 18 inches of water down there. It'll rise fast. It'll rise really fast.
Now, when I was down in the benchlands I was near the benchlands, looking. I'm on the bridge and I walked along the levee path above the benchlands just about 3 hours ago. What I saw was there were about six or seven tents already in the upper park. Were there still tents in the upper park when you left?
Yes, there were. There were. That's the only place they have to go. So it's going to be a headbutt battle, you know? I mean, tomorrow is going to be there, and then we're going to be there, and it's going to be either arrested and thrown away, or we want to contact the AFL-CIO and get something done. We need there's a student agency that supports us, and there'll be some legal action going, hopefully, and sort of stay of their demands.
That would be good if that's true. Have you had any contact with either the Union of the Homeless or the ACLU? Have they come down or not?
We had word out too. So here come them tonight. We're burning the midnight oil because there's supposed to be another two or three storms coming through. Yeah. And some, they say another 3 to 5 inches, and that'll crush it. It was rising. You saw how high it was.
So what do you intend to do? Do you intend to move to the upper park? What's your plan?
We're going to hunker down up on the outlying edges of the park, you know, in the neighborhoods where we can. A couple parking lots, if possible. Dakota office complex, and then there's another one across the street. We're trying to get you out of the rain.
Now, I understand the city is set up, in the second tier of the parking garage, supposedly, where you can temporarily put your tent and get... When I was there, they had coffee. Is anybody doing that?
Everyone went to there, it would be overflow. It would be over chaos. You know, the people there, they still have pets, and, you know, the case said with no pets, no worries with your animals. You know, leave them outside and tie them up. It's just,
there's a rule, no pets in the parking garage?
That's what we heard. So a lot of people are not going there. They have pets, and so, yeah, dogs mostly, and a few people have cats.
Yeah, no, I hear that. Not to mention goats and chickens and so forth.
And I'm going to tell you, they keep it clean. There are a couple of people that are a little lazy, but for the most part, everything is picked free of any trash and rubbish. The people with bikes have really become really orderly. So we're doing our best with what they give us.
So people are not necessarily going to go to the upper park and stay there. They're going to move to different places. And when did you get forced to move from Soquel?
The Soquel Bridge was about how long ago?
So we were trying to talk about earlier, before
3 months ago. Yeah, they came with a stay of move or be arrested, and they came early. We were out of there. Their stuff moved. they came through, and whatever was left, they grazed it like it was a preparation for a road. And they're still not allowed down there. And in the other mine areas, they're not allowed.
They're close to all. They're close to areas.
Yeah, it's completely gone. There's no longer any encampment under the bridges. Yeah, well, yeah, it was. So they were right. They knew what was coming. But that's a given. We could have been anywhere up, you know. There's countless places. There's countless places. There's a few parking lots. There's a thing anywhere. But the paradox, yeah. They could put us in somewhere without a problem. They're shutting so dumped down. And there's people that are of age that do not need to be outdoors and soaking wet. That this is despicable. Our city kind of should be ashamed of this a lot because, man, there needs to be a call to arms. I mean, you need to take care of your people that are disenfranchised and without a home right now.
Really elderly.
Elderly. I have been outdoors and talking to women and men that are. There is no condition to be outdoors.
What
no
do you,
condition whatsoever.
Jimmy, what do you see happening in the agreement camp, the fenced in area? Any report from there?
I spoke to Brent, so I don't know what they're doing. He probably told them that maybe they have to follow the police orders. But that's a joke.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy will hoard things to keep them from the home, especially on live. He will hoard stuff to keep it away from us. He purchased a building because he got a grant to purchase a building that he has the footbridge storage at the end of the street. He got people donated. Why can't they do this to people who are disenfranchised and without a home? Why can't he do that? Should he do that to them? That needs to be a call to arms. I'm speaking like an activist. This is ridiculous. My mom was a business manager. My dad was a labor union president for years. It's never been like this.
Now, has the Union of the Homeless done anything to help?
For the most part, the guys are the bombs, yeah. And their best. Because they pass out cancer. They give you anything. HBHB is, yeah, I'd like to get a couple of tents for some people who are, like, basically under tarps and it's miserable. Yeah, sleeping in water. That's what it amounts to. Sleeping in water. Yeah.
You know, if you go over to the Little Red Church, you can pick up tents over there.
So that's a call out to pick up a tent for anybody listening. It's been a pleasure to speak to you, and I miss you, brother.
Well, listen, I appreciate the update, you guys. Feel free to call me anytime. I will be on call, not to do anything, mind you, but at least to take your reports.
Pass out some templates, boss. That's all we need, just to get the word out.
Well, I will be passing on the word probably days too late, but still I'd be putting it out.
Yeah, we'll be stinging from this. We love being in the water. That's the point of the matter is house disenfranchised, feed them, keep them warm.
If you can, give me a call, Jimmy, from the camp, particularly if the river begins to rise. Not that I can stop it. I'm not Moses. And I don't...
We'll end that on a good note, okay? We love you, brother. We miss you out here.
Hey, it's good to hear you, man.
All right. I'm checking out.
There's nobody in there.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Give him this song.
All right. Is anybody still on the phone here? Yes.
I'm still here.
Anything you want to add before I sign off myself for the moment? Unfortunately, the update, like much of this phone conversation, was hard to hear. So we're going to go musical and hope you got something from it. I understood some of it, and I hope you did too.
Flight 801 left Italy. Got to New York town then. Expect to leave New York, go back to Italy again. It was a normal evening, first TWA. The flight took off an hour late. after slight delay. And it was wheels up. There was excitement in the air. For some, it was the first time they'd ever been up there. This time Flight 800 barely lifted off the ground before it was shot down over Long Island Sound. Scores of people saw it, and they wondered why. That light had left the earth and arced into the sky. They saw it hit the aircraft, saw the craft burst in flame. People asked who fired the rocket. Others asked the same. What was to be another flight over the Atlantic Sea was a flight that wouldn't be. 'Cause this time Flight 800 barely lifted off the ground before it was shot down over Long Island Sound. A Navy missile going where it wasn't supposed to go, or a terrorist attack, we may never know. The CIA announced we understood the popular confusion. What appeared to be a missile was an optical illusion. And for some reason, which we cannot explain, there are 230 people dead. Dead they will remain. 'Cause this time Flight 800 barely lifted off the ground before it was shot down.
And that certainly was a little cryptic. Here are the notes that David Rovics attaches to the song. On July 17th, 1996, TWA Flight 800 went down over Long Island soon after taking off, killing everyone on board. Scores of witnesses clearly saw a missile coming from the ground and hitting the plane, after which it broke apart in the air and came down in flaming pieces. The FBI and the CIA both intervened in the Federal Transportation Safety Board investigation. The piece of the plane that was hit by the missile was mysteriously missing, although the rest of the plane's parts were found. The CIA took it upon itself to make a video explaining how all the people who saw a missile rise up from the ground and take down the plane were actually experiencing a complicated visual hallucination of some kind. Whoever shot down the plane, whether on purpose or by accident, has never been ascertained or brought to justice of any kind. So we've been following the Pajaro River struggle to retain survival campsites right on the southern border of Santa Cruz County, the northern border of Monterey County, the Pajaro River dividing the counties, I think. That's what the story is. And we've talked to Monica Tone in the past, and there was, of course, an injunction that Anthony Prince and the Pajaro River Homeless Union got, delaying, apparently, not really stopping the seizure of and destruction of campsites along the Pajaro River. But there also was a hearing today, which was supposed to, well, the attempt was made by Prince, apparently, although he didn't show me, and I didn't get any of the details of the actual arguments that were being made, other than the vouchers offered to the people as alternate housing or alternate shelter were simply too far away and too few to really deal with the dozens, if not hundreds, of people on the Pajaro River. The number has not been clear to me. And I got a brief update from Sophie, who went to San Jose along with Wes White and Anthony Prince and others in support of Monica Tone and the homeless union there to encourage the judge and show support in court for the needs of the people not to be ripped away from their homes, their tents, the places they've lived for some for months, some for years in the Pajaro River area. And we're not talking about a flood area there, unlike Santa Cruz. It's rather just broader. This is a no-go zone. These are trespassers. This is not open to the public, etc. That was the basis on which federal magistrate Susan Van Coolen decided to essentially lift the injunction. It was lifted on the 13th. And I guess today there was a final hearing to consider what was to be done. And I haven't gotten a full report. We have a little report here from Sophie, and this is a kind of a beginning of this, at least the report from the court. We don't have the whole thing, and hoping I'll get it later. We'll play some of it if and when we do.
Wanted to, everything was denied on our end, I'm a little all over the place.
No problem. Take your time.
But the judge did say that the county has to advise Prince at least 24 hours before they begin actually clearing the river. So at least there's that. I haven't gotten confirmation. I heard yesterday that people had seen, sheriffs or people going down, and they're already starting to, pick out the good stuff people left behind. But they haven't begun, bringing the cats in or anything. So we're fortifying, staying at the lot in Watsonville. We did get a notice that they're coming on the 19th, they said, to remove debris from the area.
And just interrupting briefly to explain that Monica and a number of people began moving their tents and some of their possessions to a lot on the other side of the county line from Monterey County up to Santa Cruz County in a parking lot in Watsonville at 423 Bridge Street, which is where they're currently located. For those who want to be supportive and provide blankets and tarps and tents and other things. And you can also, you can reach Monica Tone at, give me a call at 831-423-4833. I'll take your information and pass it on to her, and she can give you a call, although she is having phone problems, and I've been having trouble communicating with her. But they are continuing to, she's continuing to struggle on to support the survival opportunities for those who are struggling with the weather, the winter, and, of course, the authorities. Back to Sophie.
Personal belongings. So we're going to, plan for that, either to, move our stuff and then move it right back, or we'll see. And that, we assume we'll have it, because the 19th is Sunday, so we assume that will actually happen Monday. But anyway, that's something. So we're trying to get more community support. We're trying to get more,
Why don't I call you in about a bit later, and you can give me sort of a more leisurely.
One of the things, I'll give you a more leisurely, and I'll check my notes too. But one of the things I was kind of thinking, we could possibly use some support with. We have an elderly gentleman with us who cannot be taken in Salvation Army or any of the shelters because he isn't always consistently mobile and able to care for himself, and so he's been at these places and they are no longer taking him. He's been fine since he's been with us because he's had a little bit more stability, not sleeping in the plaza. Anyway, so we're trying to get him to AFC. We called and left a message. I called Nick Whitehead, but I think his phone is dead or something.
I say Nick is on the other line right now.
Okay. But yeah, let him know if he knows. Yeah, sorry. Let him know if he knows if there's any openings, if there's any slight chance.
I'll have him call you directly.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay.
Talk to you later. And we're going to hear Nick's report from actually San Lorenzo River in the Benchlands shortly, or perhaps a little bit later in this netcast. But let's go back 3 days to a phone conversation I had with Laura Chatham, who's a tireless, or perhaps tired, Food Not Bombs worker, who's also been down to the Pajaro River trying to help Monica Tone and the folks down there in the homeless union in the Pajaro Valley River community. Well, I'm on the line, and it's December 13th, 2021. I guess it's Monday, with Laura. And she's a stalwart worker with Food Not Bombs and a sometimes huff person. And she's also been down in the Pajaro River encampments trying to deal with both the rain and also the, I guess, the pending eviction deadline today when the injunction gets lifted that protected the Pajaro River people, led by Monica Tone. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Robert.
Greetings. So, how long have you been down there? How many? You were down there. Were you down there for a day, or did you just go down briefly? Or
I went down this morning about 7, and I brought a pot of rice and beans to share.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I went to the warming the warming center that they set up there.
That's about, what, 6 blocks from the actual Valero gas station where a lot of us gathered when we... Some of us normally go down there when we get a call for, you know, some sort of resistance to eviction or harassment. And I hear that's near one of the other bridges, the warming center set up.
The warming center is by the bridge on Riverside Drive.
And I hear that it's kind of a parking lot where Monica and others have set up a number of tents in spite of being told by the police, you can't be here, that sort of thing.
Yes. There's a bunch of tents and tarps and a big kind of makeshift area. The tents are kind of underneath the tarps. And Monica is just amazing at figuring out how to tie this to that and clamp this one to that one and make it all stand together, because honestly the rain was driving like so strong and the wind was blowing like crazy. And what they did was they went and set this up, I guess, over the weekend, and then they put some empty tents, you know, or some tents that were not yet claimed is what I should say, because as the people were being told to leave the river where, you know, they're where they'd been, they could then go over to this warming center area if they didn't have any other place to go. And even if they didn't have a tent or didn't have any possessions left after the sweep, they were could just come in and go into one of their tents that we put up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand what happened. I guess 2 weeks ago or more, there was games and fish and games or something decided they needed to clean the river or, you know, do some sort of improvements there suddenly, or do their annual drive away the homeless approach, which I don't want to assume is simply for that, but it seems to have that effect. And as a consequence, Monica decided to resist this, called some of us from Santa Cruz, some of us from Monterey down to stand up and say, no, we're going to get, and particularly because they were trying to get an injunction, and they actually did get a temporary restraining order and were able to sustain it, but only until today, December 13th, and that I guess they're trying to go into court to get it extended, but that's, some have said, not necessarily likely, given the fact that the judge, the magistrate, the same one who gave the restraining order to Santa Cruz's stopped the Andy Mills when he was police chief and Martine Bernal when he was city manager from continuing their depopulation of the San Lorenzo Park. And that lasted for 6 months. And actually, it's lasted for a year effectively because they have they haven't moved on those San Lorenzo campers. But now it appears, I guess, Monica has decided that she wants people to get vouchers and as best they can, although they're not apparently getting all the vouchers they want.
Well, you know, Robert, the thing that was, I think that I know that the last injunction for San Lorenzo Park wasn't about Boise versus Martin.
No, it was just about COVID, really, yeah.
Yeah, that was COVID-related. But I think they would have, this particular time with the river in Jara Valley, they couldn't use that because it's the water district of, that is like a private public corporation or something like that. It didn't apply because it's considered to be private land. But now, since they moved into the city, they can
try again.
Martin versus Boise versus Martin.
Yeah, well, I think the issue for injunctions are not so much Martin versus Boise as they have to show there's an imminent danger of harm, and that the balance of equities would say you have to protect those people from harm because the actions of the state or the city or the agency will put them in a greater danger and an imminent greater danger.
Well, that was what Prince argued. That's how he got the, but he didn't get much. He just got a couple weeks, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks more.
Right.
And my question was to the judge. You know, the judge said, "Oh well, isn't a week long enough to move? Isn't that enough? Notice?" And of course, they said, "Well, a month's notice would be better." But if you or I or the judge were told to move in a month, we would all be pretty hard put to find a place and move, even if we have plenty money. If you think about it, if you're going to sell your house or move to another apartment or anything like this, usually people, you know, it takes a few months. And
Well, also,
I think that she did give them a little more time, but that was all they got out of this.
Well, it's also
the worst day of the year. The rain is coming down like crazy.
Right on.
And
yeah,
I think they're not actually
for sure
getting swept.
You know, I think, but
just because the
I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you, Laura. But I think that the issue also has to do with the fact that they didn't give them any place to go. And
therefore, the Boise versus Martin part.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's one way of looking at it. I would say that. That's fair enough. This is all sort of secondary to what's happening right now, right? I mean, Monica has decided to move out temporarily, and also, I mean, I guess is he looking for another injunction now? Is that what's going on, or?
Well, you know, I think that you better ask Monica about that because I'm not sure what her intention is in all this. She was basically, when I was there, she was doing a great job of just trying to hold down the fort, you know, keep the warming center holding together against all the wind and rain. And there was a lot more people were arriving as we.
Well, the issue is not the wind and rain. The issue is the police, right? And the Watsonville authorities, if they go after her. I mean, that's the.
They sent a whole bevy of people. I mean, you know, there were police and health workers and HPHP and a whole cadre of folks appeared. I would guess it was about like 10:30, and stood around and asked for people who might want their services. But they kind of were sort of honest with me in saying that people were not accepting the services. they would rather be on the street is what, and that what they were saying, and I'm wondering if that wasn't more about that they don't trust.
Well, I know what Monica said was she was advising them when I was there a couple of weeks ago, and what from what I heard as, sort of fragmentarily since then, that she was advising every single person to agree to accept their services, but to insist that it be done for all the people, not just for them, because, you know, they were a community. Maybe I hope I'm properly quoting her or understanding what she said. And I've not been able to talk to Monica because her phone's been out and it's been having problems with it.
She lost it.
Can you hold for a second? Yeah, that's what I heard too. And unfortunately, I lost Laura. But we won't lose sight of the music because here it comes.
I was at the climate change protests in Bonn while all the leaders of the world were gathering to discuss how not to save it. And we got a 1% reduction in emissions. It's wonderful. The protest was really great, even as we were all losing, which is the kind of nice thing, or the kind of strange thing, I guess, about being on the left, is that there's so many wonderful people and all these wonderful protests with these wonderful folks, and we all get together to sort of lose. But, you know, maybe we'll win eventually. But we have fun anyway when the cops aren't beating us too much. There were these folks from England who, I think, they really embodied the fun of the whole protest scene. They came with a bicycle known as the Rinky Dink. And the Rinky Dink was this thing that it had two bicycles on the back and two in the front and then a tandem in the middle. The two in the back and the two in the front moved the thing forward. The tandem in the middle, when you pedaled that, it powered a generator. And between the electrical generator, bicycle-powered generator, and the two solar panels over the hood that was covering the thing and the windmill on top, that powered a sound system radio station. And the windmill, of course, was mounted on a radio antenna, which constantly blew soap bubbles. And it seats like eight adults, I guess, six adults, and like 30 children. There's child seats all over the place. And it's all day-glow and beautiful. And so, you know, they'll pull up, and they're an immediate spectacle. I mean, for somebody like me who really hates to book gigs and hates to do anything organizational like that, it would be the perfect vehicle because you just show up and you play, and everybody shows up and listens because you look so strange. The really sort of shocking thing is when you're playing a concert through the sound system, and then it's being broadcast like by people riding around on their bicycles with little speakers and stuff because they can all pick it up on the radio station. And you know that any time these two guys behind you stop pedaling, the sound goes out. So, so I wrote this song to encourage them to keep pedaling. It's a pedal-powered radio station. It'll fire up your imagination. It's a sound system. It'll make you dance. Might make you jump right out of your pants. Traveling roadshow microphone with a bicycle seat as the throne. When you see it, you'll agree it's right there on your frequency. It's the rinky-dink, the rinky-dink. When you're feeling on the brink, it'll make you laugh. It'll make you think. I'm talking about that rinky-dink. Soap's a bubbling, breeze is blowing, ain't no telling where it's going. Windmill swinging with the tribe, it's that day glow solar vibe. Stop a riot, it's been done, they'll part the clouds and bring the sun. It don't matter where you've been, just sit on down and tune right in. It's a rinky dink, the rinky dink, just might be the missing link. It'll make you nod, it'll make you wink, I'm talking about that rinky dink.
They'll come rolling through your town. You might go up and never come down. It's the cure for air pollution. It's the rinky-dink solution. Folks will wonder. Folks will stare. Kids will jump into their chair. When they go, you know the rub. Drop a quid into the tub. It's the rinky-dink, the rinky-dink. It'll ease up any kink. It'll ease up any kink. Talking about that rinky-dink. The rinky-dink, the rinky-dink. It'll make your troubles shrink. It'll ease up any kink. No, there's something else there. Lots of things rhyme with dink. It would give those folks something to drink. Turn the pedals, clackety clink. I'm talking about that rinky dink.
So the day after the storm hit, well, actually I did a couple of visits to the so-called shelter and the parking garage across the river from the San Lorenzo Benchlands campground that was inundated, at least part of it, by the river itself and the rest of it by the rain. There was an area set up on the second tier of a parking garage. And I think I have some more. I'm going to be playing a little bit of this out of order. This is, I believe, on the 14th, December 14th. I actually have a little bit before this, which I may play later if I can find it. But here I am in the parking lot going up to get the opinions of the people who are using it, setting up some tents, and you're going to hear that now. I don't know, 10 after, it's about 1 o'clock. We're talking with, give me a name that you want to know. Billy, and with?
John.
And Billy, you've been upstairs in the second tier of the parking garage here after the, supposedly as a sort of a flood relief area. What's the story up there?
They just moved people from across the street up there because they kicked me out of the park because it was going to overflow, I guess, from the river. And so they moved people upstairs.
Now, were you moved from the upper park area or from the Benchlands area?
From the Benchlands. Well, not me personally, but friends of mine. So that's why I'm here, is because I was helping them and stuff.
And was there any city help helping people move from the Benchlands?
Yeah, there was.
There was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, now that you said that, probably more. Yeah, more last night than I think I've seen in a long time.
About what time did this help that you saw come?
Well, like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Late at night. Super late. When everybody pretty much had all their stuff and they were walking, you know, and then they finally pulled in and made an effort.
Yeah. How many vehicles or city people actually helped, you would estimate?
One or two, right?
One or two more than I saw.
There's like probably like 100 people staying over there, maybe.
Yeah.
And there was like 10 people upstairs.
So, yeah, when I went upstairs in the afternoon yesterday, I saw only about 10 people. Did it increase at all in the course of the night?
A little bit. But I think by them keeping it open to cars because they're parking up there, it's like kind of pushing everybody out, you know, as the parking spaces fill up. So it's not like hey, you got to leave. It's more or less like these cars will make them leave.
Did they supply tents or blankets?
Sleeping bags, these little mats, but they, of course, ran out. And what I don't like is if they're going to do something like that, they need to get them to people who don't have them, not to people who have, you know, 12-man tents and nice stuff anyways, you know. Maybe if they could somehow regulate that, because there's a lot of people that don't have anything, you know, that still didn't get anything, that should.
How long have your friends been living in the Benchlands?
Well, they've been homeless for, you know, over 10 years, you know, but the Benchlands, you know, this is second go-around in however many years, so.
Yeah, fourth, actually, that I know of.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're a resident of the Benchlands, or come to help, or?
Yeah, I've been staying there.
And how long were you there for?
Probably like close to a year now.
And
Were you given any warning that this would be coming? How were you flooded out, or were you just worried you were going to be flooded out?
It was flooded out, for sure. I mean, and we got slight warnings, you know, here and there.
Did you lose your property?
Personally, no, but a lot of people, I'm sure, did. Well, I got stuff stolen because of it, yeah.
What kind of help do you think people currently need in the Benchlands, given the flood and given the number of people there and all the situation that's happening?
You know, considering they help out with, like, housing and shit like that, with people, like, that actually do the paperwork and all the community, like, efforts that are there for people to, like, take into, like, their own hands and get, like, because I've heard of people getting houses and shit. I think they need to have people that work for the community, go out there, social workers, and actually help the people figure out how to do that, because I think that's, like, the biggest issue is nobody knows how to do it out there.
Do you think that actually housing exists for people to do that, or is it...
No idea.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of it, so I don't know either.
I've only heard of a few people getting, like, a home for, like...
They continue to you know, block any bills trying to be passed to get any funding for low-income.
Well, I noticed they have funding, but the funding doesn't seem to go to the low-income people.
No, of course.
It goes to the people who are going to advise you as to what to do and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, it'd be like, you need to tell you no.
Literally, probably goes to their pockets.
For sure. You're headed to work.
Yep.
And are you headed back to the Benchlands, or are you just going out?
I got to do some stuff for work, too, actually.
What kind of work do you do, if you want to say?
Construction.
And how is construction? Is the new buildings going up you're working on? Or?
I work commercial, but I'm over the hill. But it's still slow because of the COVID. So, we just get it when we can, you know. So.
I see you're wearing your mask.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I always wear it.
Are you a particularly vulnerable person because of previous, or just being cautious?
I'm just anal and not trying to get it. And I guess one of the ways is to wear this mask, because I'm definitely not going to get the vaccine. And it's, you know, because of my own opinions and beliefs. And so the only other thing I guess you can do is keep your distance and wear your mask, right?
Have you experienced any discrimination because you don't have vaccination mandate?
No, I personally haven't, but I mean, I'm sure there's some people out there that I could go tell that I don't have it, and I'm sure I could get some backlash, you know, but other than that...
No one's demanded vaccine ID from you.
No, because I haven't gone anywhere that has required it. So.
Right, I'm afraid more of that is coming, and what worries me mainly, but... Any general comments about accommodations upstairs, which is really what I'm looking to get into here?
I was told by multiple people that Santa Cruz PD has hotel vouchers. They've had them last year when they evacuated, and the year before when they evacuated. And I know people that got them last year, and I know they have them, and they're just being dicks and not passing them out. Because I know they have them.
I heard that people, I read on Facebook recently from a woman named Abby Samuels, who was on the going around reporting on this thing in the Benchlands, that Benchlands people were not being helped, but the people who moved to the park were being helped, but only if they would get out of the park entirely and not stay there in tents. Have you heard anything about that?
Like as of being helped yesterday?
Yeah, being helped in the sense that we'll help you leave the park.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Are people still in the park?
There's more confusion because it was like all mixed up. Like the people that were leaving the Benchlands were like going to stay there, and then like they did stay there, and the people that got the help, I think, were from the Benchlands.
Yeah, they're like the county and stuff. When they come to help and stuff, they word their, you know, what they're gonna say and how they're gonna help. They word it so precisely that, you know, if you get a bee buzzing by your ear and accidentally miss a word that they say or something, you know, and you get it mixed up,
you don't get the help.
Yeah, you won't get the help, you know, or you do get the help expecting you can come back, but no, they said, you know, we'll help you leave, and that's permanently leave, you know, where was the permanent, you know? And he just said, well, if your stuff's packed, we'll help you leave. And so they packed their stuff and left with the intent to come back, and I guess, not allowing to come back.
Oh, really? They're not allowing people to come back?
That's just what I'm hearing, you know.
Are you, you'll be returning to the Benchlands tonight, or no, you're going to be coming up back here? Or?
No, I'm trying to find somewhere else to go. Not sure.
All right. That is a hellhole down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the conditions with the rain, or because of other things?
Everything.
Yeah, everything. The rain and the water is the least of the problems.
Yeah.
You know?
The people and just everything. I mean, it's not the people, but I mean, you know, it gets stressful. People get stressed. People get upset. And they take it out on everyone around them.
So, you've lived there for about how long?
6 months to a year.
And has it gotten better, worse, the same?
It's the same.
Anything you want to add for Free Radio on the Net?
Nope.
And we've been talking with...
What is it, John?
I think it was John. And with...
Alex?
Something like that, yes. Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
All right. Do you want a copy of Free Radio? I'm upstairs now on the second level, second tier, which we spoke of earlier. And looking around, I count... 4 tents on the left edge and about 6 tents on the right and 3 or 4, maybe more, in the middle. Looks like some of the tents were placed at odd intervals all the way to the other side, the front street side of the parking garage. There's a supplies of water, table with a coffee canister on it, and relatively few cars parked up here. Talking with
Ken Hall.
And Ken, you came up here, but you don't have your tent with you.
I got my tent. I had two different bags here for my tent.
You haven't set up your tent.
No, I'm drying out the canopy right now.
And were you previously in the Benchlands?
Huh?
Across the street?
Sleeping right here.
Where were you before this?
Right across the street, over by the river.
Were you down in the Benchlands area next to the river? Or?
Across the courthouse, I was only 50 feet from the river, 50 feet from the ditch.
When did you decide to move?
11 o'clock yesterday morning.
And what prompted you to move?
They're telling me, are you going to get flooded out or are you going to move?
And they being people in uniform or?
No, I don't know who the hell they were. Females, to be enclosed, I don't know.
And did they help you move?
Well, a couple of them did, yeah.
Did you see a lot of that kind of thing, people being helped to move, or just, was it rare, was it? Occasional.
They were helping quite a few people, but there was quite a few people who didn't want to move either. So there was quite a few people down there still there right now. They didn't move at all.
Now, which end of the campground were you at? The county building outside, or
right across from the county building there on the north. Let's see, that'd be the southeast corner.
So were you closer to the? The hookups, the electrical charging station, or?
Within 200 yards.
And how long were you there?
About 3 months.
And what was your experience there? How would you describe it?
What was my experience? I didn't really love it, but I'll tell you why, it was a place to sleep every night.
Well, I know when we first spoke, you said it'd be great if this, or it'd be okay if this were a place you could come and set up one of the tents you have with you if you knew you didn't have to move in a day, right?
Well, right here in this garage, yeah. It's wintertime, man. It's like, who knows what's going to happen between now and April? You know? Between now and April, a lot of shit can happen. I don't want to be pulling out of this garage and going out there again and setting up, and all of a sudden 2 weeks later say, oh, you got to move again. You know? It takes 3 hours to take this tent, put it up, and take it down.
Has there been any assistance up here other than this canister of coffee and some water? People are offering. Are they offering blankets or tents or bedding?
Oh yeah. They had the activator last night. They were giving sleeping bags and bedding and tarps and all kinds of stuff out here last night. I don't drink coffee, but they had coffee set up out here last night and. People drink coffee all night. I can't drink coffee. But
well, did they give you tea?
No, I can't drink tea either.
Glass of water?
No, I very rarely drink water. I drink water maybe once a year.
7-Up?
You give me a beer, I'll take a beer in a heartbeat.
Fair enough. I don't have any with me, but I do have a street spirit if you want a newspaper.
No, I don't need a newspaper.
Okay.
I want to read all that's going on in the world. I need this local bullshit. I want to read a lot that's going on around the world. Yeah.
I know the feeling, although I think what's going on around here is probably, particularly to people who are outside, is just as important. Yeah. For me, anyway. Anything you want to add about your experience up here in this garage for the last 12 hours?
I'm very glad it's here. I'm glad they offered it, and I'm glad I spent the night here last night. Because otherwise, I've been sleeping down there in that river, and that water was pretty damn cold out there last night.
Did the water envelop your sleeping spot, do you think?
I don't know. I got out of here before it even moved in.
Will you be bringing a paddle and going back?
It depends what the weather's going to be like. I'd go back over there.
You think they're probably going to... I don't know what they're going to do here. Maybe they'll be sensible, but because it takes up commercial parking spots,
yeah.
I wonder. We've been talking with...
Kenneth Alf.
And I'm Robert Norris.
Everybody knows me, Sam.
I'm known as Sam, but my real name is Kenneth Hall. I'm from Michigan, and I've been in Kansas City now for 4 years. I love it here.
Thanks, Sam.
When the world has gone crazy, and it's all becoming clear, when they're gunning down our comrades, and it seems the end is near, as they're loading up the launchers for the tear gas grenades, we can take off our bandanas and kiss behind the barricades. When it's madness all around, and you can see this at a glance, we will sing and we will cry, we will laugh and we will dance. As they shout their marching orders beneath the helicopter blades, we shall seize the moment for a kiss behind the barricades. They will try to break our spirit, and at times they may succeed, but our love for the world is stronger than their greed. When the building is surrounded and hope begins to fade, in my final hour, a kiss behind the barricades. As the movement grows, there will be hills and bends, but at the center of the struggle are your lovers and your friends. And the more we hold each other up, the less we can be swayed. Here's to love and solidarity, and a kiss behind the barricades.
Behind the barricades, in July 2011, Carlo Giuliani was killed at the G8 protests in Genoa, Italy. From the climate protests in Bonn, a train full of folks left for Genoa to participate in those protests. When they came back, most were traumatized and some had broken bones. After reading something my friend Starhawk wrote about her experience in Genoa, I wrote a love song. That's David Rovics. And I believe this bit of dialogue and commentary was Monday, the day before, December 13th, as I kind of initially checked out the park and then went to the parking structure that was the overflow area, or was the safety area that people were being directed to. Though there was a lot of concern later that this didn't really help, because people wanted to save their stuff and they wanted to move onto the higher ground in the park itself, and they were instead threatened with arrest if they did this. And moreover, the city workers did not help them move, many of them, or at least there's some dispute as to how much of this how much it was help or how much it was we'll get you, we'll help you transport to somewhere outside the park, but not allow you to be here. And people were more concerned with moving their stuff up. And by the time they'd gotten up, according to at least some accounts or one account, a pretty strong account, and you'll be hearing that either now or on Sunday, they were their stuff was trashed while they went to get more, get just rescue more of their stuff from the flood.
So it's about 4:30 on December 13th. I'm in San Lorenzo Park, the Dakota Street entrance, breaking the rain. So I've not brought my umbrella with me. And hopefully this won't be a mistake. In San Lorenzo Park, there are now some tents being set up on the Soquel side of the footbridge. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And all those tents had disappeared by today, December 16th, apparently intimidated out of the park.
Some other clumps of property. There's an expectation that the campground may be flooded when the river goes to 20 feet. And the footbridge is... looks about as soggy as it did after the last rain.
And I'm looking down from the footbridge onto the area between the Water Street Bridge and the footbridge to the Duck Pond in San Lorenzo Park.
Looking toward Water Street. Most of the tents are still up, haven't been blown away by the wind. I'm counting the tents. And some collapsed tent spaces. And people are... there's some activity. You might expect here at the river. Beginning to, it's encroaching on the banks closer to the, well, hasn't yet reached the orange mesh fence.
And there's some dramatic pictures of the flood. If you go on a Facebook page and look for Alex Landos, for those who want to get kind of a bird's eye view of at least one rather horrifying picture of what people in the bench lines were facing.
Which separates... Hey there, Jeremy.
Hi, Robert.
So, what are folks going to move up to the higher ground? Or?
Looks like they are, yeah.
Yep.
There's a little...
And this is Jeremy Leonard, who's the city paid employee who I got varying reports of how helpful he was or wasn't.
Triage center going up over across the way there. So
you've been there, checked it out? Or?
I'm going to go there in a little bit. I'm going to make sure that one more thing is settled over here, and I'm going to cruise over there and see what it looks like. But I hear they have coffee and supplies and stuff. Yeah, warm, some kind of warmth. I'm soaked to the bone and freezing, so I can imagine that.
How long have you been out?
Since about 9 this morning.
And... Any predictions about the river's looking pretty high? What's your sense of that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. I haven't checked the weather.
No,
I know. But I know that it's... I mean, you're right. Your assessment is correct, Robert. I can confirm that the river is high.
Are people arriving to help folks move? No. Are they just like myself coming to observe and make commentary?
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't seen anyone come down here to help.
Well, you're here.
Other than us, yeah.
So, of course, you're paid to be here.
That's true. So, yeah, we have a city van that's helping some people that want to move, move over to the triage center there.
How much space is there in a triage center? Do you know?
There's a whole parking, the second story of that parking structure on River Street there is... all open, so...
That sounds good.
Yeah, and it's, it's the second story, right? So you have a covering up above, so it'll be protected from the wind and a little shit. It'll be good shelter.
This is the Red Cross.
Yeah. the Red Cross is going in there. The city, you know, put it together, and then the Red Cross is coming in to offer coffee and whatnot. So
actually the city, meaning city manager, this is from his department? Or?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the details of how it went down, to be honest with you. So,
right.
But, yeah, I just got the notice that, you know, people can go over there and get a little warm, slightly warm.
When did it open up?
This morning. So
sounds good.
Yeah. I'm going to go talk. There's one more female down here that I want to talk to.
Go for it. Don't let me stop you.
You reminded me that I was supposed to go over there, but I want to make sure that she's safe, so I'm going to go.
Do it.
Okay. I'll see you, Robert. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. That was Jeremy Leonard, who's the city's employee to manage or provide assistance to or snitch on, or it depends on who you talk to, what his role is or what he actually does. I see one shopping cart already buried in water on the Soquel side of the footbridge. I'm standing on the footbridge now looking over the fenced encampment. And a lot of people are, well, it's a number more than I've seen before. More tents have been placed on the flat area that previously was vacant between what I would call Rent's camp and Brent Adams' camp, and the which is inside that fenced area, and the footbridge. Almost nobody was at a tent there, maybe through some agreement, or maybe through some police order, or maybe, I'm not sure why. And I guess what I'm going to do now is let's check out the Red Cross triage station, the two-tier garage, parking garage. And there are several folks in planning who are making their way there. I'm not quite sure what the best entrance is. The ramp into the second story of the two-tier. Actually, it's a three-tier garage. Is a woman looks like he's coming from the camp, or at least she has her possessions with her. Coffee this way. Tent set up in different places on the floor, second floor of this garage. Not many yet. I'm counting two, three, and I haven't seen where the refreshments are. That's what I'm headed for. That table with a red canister is in his coffee. So, are you the official coffee dispenser?
Temporarily, yeah.
Very good.
Would you like some yourself?
Do you have cream?
There is half and half.
Going fast.
Yes, it is.
Sure, if you want. If you think you have enough for everybody, if you don't, I will.
I think it's been pretty good. From what the Red Cross gave us.
Are people's cars parking here in RDC?
They didn't ask me for any of that, so, you know, I think that's something I'm going to ask.
Have a good day.
You too.
So, cars maybe, but not necessarily.
Right, yeah.
Take your chances when you park your car.
I'm sure somebody did right now.
Nobody would care.
Probably not. Do you want room?
How long have you been here doing this? Is this a long shift for you? Or?
I work for the city, so I'm on shift. I was already on.
Are you getting paid more? Combat pay?
No. No. Definitely.
But this is a change from your usual stuff.
Yeah.
Many people using the service.
Yeah.
How many would you say you've served today?
I think 20 or 25.
Thank you. 20 or 25.
is what you suggest. They're already faced with water in their tents.
That's your whole shit gone.
And that's what's happening. Your
everything's gone.
What's happening with you is the river has risen to your tent.
Yeah.
Good luck. I'll let you go. So our worker here is telling me that some of the things that her department does is help get people's IDs.
The downtown streets does.
Downtown streets. That's a
separate.
But she's under you're her director? No, you're not.
No. It's just we work along with them.
Huh. And that's the part of the work that gets done by the city that you like more than others.
Yeah.
Rather than ticketing people and taking their property and things of that sort.
Yes.
Take it.
I have to go back over there. Where can I do my job? Your staff?
Yeah.
Where are you going to get
And she probably is being directed by the city as an employee, so she knows me from a long time ago. I don't remember her, of course, but she's got a better memory than I do. She's telling people where to put their stuff and leave it here. I see piles of stuff that people are leaving. So there's a family here, an extra large tent, and there's several piles of possessions that people have. And there's yellow tape marking off areas. Hey, good. I can't see you. Where are you?
I'm here. Oh, I'm homeless, Robert.
You are?
Oh, my God.
I would Hello.
Homeless and freezing, Robert.
Any reports from the street other than homeless and freezing?
No, nothing violent at all. No police problems.
Good.
I don't have any. The river came up and is flooding over there.
Did it evict you from your house?
Yes, it evicted me from my house. I need an extra blanket or two. Is there any possible way I have an AM FM radio update?
Yeah, if I had a blanket, I'd give it to you. I don't.
Come on, what?
I don't.
Come on, please. Is there anybody around here that's got a blanket?
Well, there's an employee who might. I don't know. She gives out coffee. You already had some coffee from her, right, or not?
I haven't had any coffee. I don't need coffee.
She might have a.
I'm like freezing again.
This is supposed to. You know, this is red. She's a red. No, she's not Red Cross. She's city. Maybe you can talk to her if you want. She's. Yeah, she's two. Right over there.
I have like hypothermia.
Yeah, I hear you. She's right, anyways, right beyond that tent. She's where the coffee canister is.
Oh, really?
I mean, ask her, you know. She doesn't have
one. For me, Robert. I don't know if I can get up.
Well, I'm headed out that way. Sure, I'll tell her. But, you know, the best thing for you to do is check it out yourself.
What?
I'll mention it to her.
Will you ask her?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, she's not going to know who the hell I'm talking about.
Well, you know what? Can you ask her?
I will.
Yeah, you just got some here.
She says they just got some blankets. That's what the rumor is. City trucks keep pulling in. At least two have so far, or one repeatedly has pulled in. But so far, it's still a sparse operation. Crossing the footbridge again in the other direction. Greetings.
Hello.
Folks wheeling their bicycles or pushing carts with property on it. A little bit like the refugee operation in France fleeing the Nazis, it looks like. Although, of course, these are only scattered people at the moment. Are you
like, what's the concentration of sediment in the water right now? What's the river? We collect samples, like on an event like this, we'll collect samples every couple hours. Instrument was developed by the Federal Interagency Sediment Commission, like in the 1950s. They did a bunch of work on this stuff, tested it in all sorts of different rivers. And so we're using kind of a standardized instrument that's used across the USGS.
Are you putting out reports to the public regarding this particular situation here?
Not this particular event, but we put out publications every year or two that look at that publish these data, the stream flow data that we're measuring in the San Lorenzo. I think there are like four or five publications that we've done that incorporate data from this particular instrument, and we've been doing the studies for about 10 years. You know, last year I think we only had one event that we sampled because it was
so dry.
Any
conclusions you've come to over this period?
The best.
I always wondered what the box was.
Yeah. The best person to talk to about that would be Amy East at the USGS Pacific Coastal Science Center. She's the PI who's doing most of this sediment sampling. I'm a river nut and a geologist that likes to help her out.
Are you getting paid to do this?
Oh, yeah, we get paid.
Excellent. That's good. So this isn't to find out if there is a more of a serious danger of some public safety because of the river.
I mean, primarily what we're looking at is long-term trends in sediment delivery, relationship between drought years and flood years and how much sediment comes down the river, whether that changes through time or it's constant. Like if it's constant, you can just say, well, what did we measure for river discharge? Oh, there must have been this much sediment. But some of the research that we're doing here shows that, you know, responses are very different in a year where you have a lot of storms versus a year where you only have a few events.
Or fires, for that matter.
Yeah, and fires are a whole added complexity on top of that. My name's Andy Ritchie.
I'm Robert Norris.
Good to meet you, Robert.
Yeah, well, I will move along and... I don't know if I'll ponder that. I at least as the other fellow you were talking to now said, you can figure out.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we consider it our job to relay our research to the public. So if you have questions, you know, it's the U.S. Geological Survey, Pacific Coastal and Marine Science Center. We're over on the west side. Again, Dr. Amy East is the PI who works primarily with these data.
Okay.
But, you know, any of our scientists love to talk about our work. So.
All right. Thank you again. We've been talking with
Andy Ritchie.
Take care. It's getting darker now, of course, as we're getting close to the shortest day of the year.
Yeah.
Scattered people, a handful of people almost, rolling their stuff up the banks into San Lorenzo Park proper. Again, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9 tents in San Lorenzo Park between the children's playground and the path that goes through to Dakota Street. So it looks like the agreement camp, Brent's agreement camp, is also... some people are moving their stuff up the pathways that connect to the levee trail. Children's playground gates are open. I don't know if they're normally locked. Yo! It's starting to rain again. So the center of the agreement camp fenced in area looks, well, like the river has invaded the camp, and indeed the entire center of the part of the camp that's in the middle of the camp is a lake, hence up here near the bridge that crosses toward the Soquel Bridge, which look, I don't know if they've been erected
Howdy.
Remarkable scene down here.
What's up?
Pretty remarkable scene.
You mean the flooding and all, or?
Well, I think the just the potential danger.
As well as the fact that everybody's property has been ruined, and, you know. Are you a local who lives nearby, or?
Yeah.
Were these tents usually here, or did they just get put up?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
It looks like people are evacuating into the higher ground.
Yeah. Yeah, which makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And it's starting to rain, which just means I better put on my hood here.
Yeah, well, you know, they got 6 inches so far up in Boulder Creek.
Shelton, too.
Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing.
Why isn't the city down here?
Dare I say, because they don't give a shit?
I think there's some legal things going on.
Well, that's possible, I suppose. But I mean, if they really cared, they could have done. Tomorrow's a city council meeting, for instance. And I doubt you're going to hear much about this except, why are they just spoiling our beautiful park by setting up tents?
They're liable to some extent, aren't they?
I don't know. You tell me. They should be, maybe. But.
I know they'd be worried about being liable if nothing else. Gosh.
Well, I know that, you know, there was a whole campground here for what? A year in the park for a while. And I don't know that they did much until Bernal decided to clear everything out in the middle of the winter, which wasn't necessarily the best move either.
No. That was, you know, well, that was Bernal, really. I mean, that was his.
Well, who knows who's
his
next?
MO from the beginning. Well, I'm concerned about this. I'm surprised that the city isn't feeling more responsible. It's really bad. Right?
You would think that would be the best thing to do, and
well,
the
well, it's
human
dangerous.
Thing to do.
I mean, you know, people get. I mean, if nothing else, all this debris going out into the ocean. If they have to evacuate tonight, it's not a good thing either.
Oh, of course not. But is it something where the city may say, well, I don't know what they'll say. I'm going to get in so I don't get soaked again.
Yeah, I know.
I'm Robert, by the way.
I know, Robert. I recognize you.
You look familiar. I've forgotten who you are.
My name's Bruce Ashley. I'm a commercial photographer.
All right.
For years, I had a studio on River Street. Actually, Coral Street, right across from the homeless center. So I got to follow the whole epoch.
Wow. So, let the rain cut us off, and here's a little music to segue into the next segment with.
Helicopter missiles launch, ground rumbles, apartment complex shakes, just before it crumbles. Children scream and die, wrong time, wrong place. A woman wears a shawl that hides a scar upon her face. A boy looks through a pool of blood and praises the day when the armies of the infidels will once more go away. And everybody's just waiting for the fall outside the green zone through the machine gun turrets on the other side of the wall. City swelters in the heat. A thousand ghosts are weeping amid the pockmarked street. No food in the market. You can't reap grain you can't sow. A no man's land, the Red Cross doesn't dare to go. A soldier shoots at everything, acting like the master race. All the while wondering what he's doing in this place, where everybody's just waiting for the fall outside the green zone through the machine gun turrets on the other side of the wall. Turned to rubble, where everything's gone wrong. Death squads roam the alley, looking for the eye of anyone who dares to say a lie is just a lie. The torturers are torturing in a prison cell, flushing poor ants down the toilet, saying all praise be to Shell. And everybody's just waiting for the fall outside the green zone, through the machine gun turrets on the other side of the wall. us, you know. You're somewhere in Iraq. Surgeons with no medicine wonder what to do and ask how things might be if the outside world knew. In an ivory tower in Texas, they're toasting the new year, not knowing there's a country far away from here where everybody's just waiting for the fall. Outside the green zone, through the machine gun turrets on the other side of the wall.
And that one was called Waiting for the Fall. On July 2nd, 2003, President Bush challenged those in Iraq attacking U.S. troops to bring it on. They did, in an insurgency against the U.S. occupation that lasted for years and later resurfaced in new forms, such as the Islamic State. In seeking to maintain control over the country and defeat the insurgency, the parts of Iraq that had survived the invasion were largely turned to rubble. Later in the war against ISIS, the bits that hadn't been turned to rubble yet were turned to rubble. Now Mosul is just as much of a pile of rubble as Fallujah and other once beautiful ancient cities in the region.
It's now about noon on December 15th. I'm in the Hunabomb's Park. Hey, any reports from the street? Anything you want to pass on to free radio?
Cigarettes and Ebola? Or Ebola?
Nope, not at this time, but... anything you want to pass on to us? No? Okay, thank you. See yourself?
I'm hanging in there.
You're in your vehicle and you're sort of... Are you dry? I can't tell.
Somewhat dry. My vehicle leaks. So my stuff in here has gotten wet. We've all experienced getting flooded out. You know, everybody out here is in their tent.
What?
I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
The tents out here, you know, a lot of them are tattered and busted and...
And I'm talking now to Linda, who's in her car, and this is a series of conversations with folks in their cars parked in the Hunabomb's parking lot, which is, I should say, the area that's at Laurel and Front Street.
You know, people flooded out, and their stuff's all just jacked, and nobody has any funding here. We're all struggling. So just trying to go through it and wondering, we were just talking about how they focus primarily on the San Lorenzo Park and the bench lands, but they're not seeing the greater picture of how many homeless there really is and how many people need that help, too.
You're speaking of both the levee here, the encampment around the parking lot, and also what, Paradise Camp?
Paradise and up there in Hills Trail and, yeah, Bunny Trail, too.
Where is Bunny Trail is?
Is a little bit above... by the graveyard, kind of. Yeah.
Any reports from there about how people are faring in the weather?
I know that they all need... Everybody needs tarps and sleeping bags and dry clothes and ways to get to wash and redo our situations. And they all need to be able to put up their tents and be able to secure it and be, you know, waterless at least. You know, it's hard.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
a couple days ago, I was in the parking structure where they, you know, they were setting up, some tents were set up, and there was a, I don't know, you could get coffee and water. That was all I saw there. I didn't stay very long.
Yeah. Here, at least daily, we have Hunabomb's come in, and they feed for 3 hours a day, and they're very helpful and resourceful, too. They give out clothes and other things to people, warm food, you know, but it's just, you know, the beyond that is just still living and maintaining some kind of life and being sane.
You know, how long have you been doing this?
It's hard. It's hard to be okay.
Yeah, and yet you you occasionally smile.
I try to crack jokes, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So thank you for giving me the account. We've been talking with, if you want to say.
My name is Elizabeth.
Thanks, Linda. I'm Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Greetings, Linda.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to pass on?
No. Have a happy holiday.
It sounds like she's saying her name is Elizabeth, but I thought she said Linda at the time. Oh, boy. Who knows what's going on here?
Hey, so have a drier holiday.
Yeah.
Although there's a storm coming, I hear. Ugh.
Yeah, it is.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, man. The city, I don't understand. You know, it seemed like to me, if you know a storm coming like that, you would have things in order for the homeless. You know, that, you know, it would seem that way.
Yep.
All the money that they get
for
like a Corona bus. You know, Santa Cruz is not that big. If you can spend all that money for a Corona bus, then I'm sure you could do something for the homeless.
Well, as Linda was saying, dry clothes, decent tents, maybe buildings.
Look, the city know how impervious the homeless are. I don't have to go into detail. They know. They see it in their face every day when they go to work.
But they turn their eyes away.
Well, I mean, that's what they've been doing to the homeless since the beginning of the time. Push them out the way. You
yes.
know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anything specific you would suggest that if you ran the city, what you do right now to help out, is if you
well,
could?
If I had the opportunity to run the city, I would first have to make it a priority to take care of the people in the city.
You would think so.
And that, right, and that's everybody. There's no distinction, race, creed, or color. And, you know, I wouldn't judge no one. You know what I'm saying? I have a job to do. You know, regardless of how I feel, I still got a job to do. You know, that's what I would do if I ran the city.
And we're going to be tuning in on more of this guy's commentary. He talks a bit about his personal life, but I'm flooded with stuff, and I haven't got much time on this netcast, so I'm going to move on. And here's a couple of updates from Nutcracker Nick Fuller, as I've called him. He's one of our Huff members who's been poking around the benchlands, and then also the parking garage overflow area, and finally the Depot Park area, where apparently is the new overflow or the new safety zone or the new triage center, whatever you want to call it. Here's some of his stuff that he called in actually just someone within the last hour or so. All right, so I'm on the line with Nick Whitehead, who's an activist concerned with a number of causes, but this particular one has to do with the flooding in the San Lorenzo benchlands area. And I guess, Nick, you've been researching that today. Today is December 16th, and I'm talking to you about nearing 3 o'clock. Go ahead.
Yeah, after going down there with Kevin from the Huff meeting and inspecting the damage at the camp, I then crossed the bridge with Jeremy Leonard, the city's point man in that San Lorenzo camp, and he was going to the parking garage, the second floor of the parking garage on Front Street, where they had permitted some refugees from the water-sodden storm-damaged camp to camp out under shelter. They were just, Public Works had a truck, and they were clearing away people, a few remaining people's belongings there. I spoke with a woman from the Public Works, and she said the authorities had decided there's no way they will let any more people come into that parking structure for shelter from storm, no matter how bad the storm is.
How many people appeared to be there, or did you hear a figure given?
Well, no, there were only about four. I don't know the total number. I don't think it was a large number. Maybe 20 had gone up there, but I'm just guessing on that from what I saw. So the thing is, she said the authorities had decided that there's no way they're going to extend the period during the next series of storms. It was just a one-shot deal because they thought the river was going to overflow its banks. It was on that basis alone. And So that instead, they're moving people away from the river and sending them to Depot Park and the Armory, and maybe a little later, a new shelter, a new open camp on River Street.
So the Depot.
So none of these are covered buildings. None of them are covered.
So Depot Park is the area they're opening up right now?
Yeah. I haven't been there yet. I'll go and have a look after this call.
Kind of ironic. Depot Park was the place that in 2019, the city council established as the first Gone by Dawn sleeping area, and it was violently or angrily protested by Rafa Sonnenfeld and others, who I'm from the Depot Park, friends of the Depot Park. And they were able to essentially turn the council around completely in spite of its liberal majority and no such...
Now, public works woman, she wasn't really a spokesperson. She was just managing the operation of it. And she said it's planned for 3 months. The Depot Park location is planned to be operating for 3 months.
Did she say it was open now?
No, she said we're moving people there.
I mean, they are moving people into it as we speak?
I think that's probably true.
And did you get any indication of how this went over with the folks who were resident at the parking garage?
No, they were busy scraping things together. They were even, they had to pursue the actions because these trucks were coming in.
And are people being evicted from the garage today?
Yeah.
And
that's the impression I got.
Did you talk to anybody in the Benchlands?
Yeah, one guy showed us the skeleton of his pop-up tent, the concertina-type design, crisscross, the skeletal structure. He'd had all the fabric blown off that. And then he'd gone and bought another one of the same design. That really puzzled me. The river did not overflow its banks. It came up about 3 feet, but it didn't reach into the camp. Except the lowest part, a few people who were camped right on the edge of the bank. Those are outside the regular camp.
As far as I could see from the video by Alex Lands, I think his name is Lando. Yeah, there was the agreement camp that Brent had, the fenced-in camp area between the footbridge and the Soquel Bridge, did get swamped, and you could actually see the water, a tongue of it reached into the camp, and plus, of course, there was like a moat.
Yeah, that's true. The far end of the camp,
right,
the entrance was lower than the rest, yeah.
I guess so.
That would probably affect about 30 people.
I got some rather strong statements from people who lived there, one person anyway. How many people did you talk to?
In the main San Lorenzo Park camp?
Yeah, all in all.
No, not many, just 3 or 4. Kevin was good at speaking with them because he's new and he's very curious and trying to get the whole picture.
Mm. Gotcha.
The thing we established was that of the 4 or 5 people we spoke to, none of them was aware that a big storm is coming tomorrow and it's going to carry on for 4 days, or 3 days. They didn't seem aware. And I asked Jeremy Leonard about that, the point man for the city, and he said, no, he and his partner have repeatedly moved up and down the camp, trying to tell as many people as possible. So I think that the city, and because of this emergency with the storms, city should have had a team of people going through there and posting notices, big conspicuous notices, warning them that this, they could be heavily drenched again. There was a lot of mud and pools still around.
Hmm. What part of the benchlands did you actually go into?
Is that what I could describe?
Did you go into the park?
Between the footbridge, close to the footbridge, towards the county building.
Gotcha.
About 50 yards or so. We didn't go any further than that.
Was there still a lot of standing water, or was it mostly mud? And
There were some big pools of rainwater that were messing things up for the people there. And the mud wasn't thick, but it was prevalent.
Huh. And what did
most of the structures had survived. Most of the structures had survived despite the heavy winds. But there were things strewn about, for sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well,
that's all I can report on.
No, I appreciate that. I will, I'll send you over to Sophie who wants to talk to you, and thank you.
You'll send me over?
Yes, you're being sent over, buddy.
Oh, you're transferring my call?
I am, I'm directing you to head towards Sophie by calling her up.
Okay, I got it. Don't broadcast that. Makes us look like fools. Okay, thanks, Robert.
Good to hear you, Nick.
Be well, bro.
Bye-bye.
All right?
Bye-bye. But Nick called in again, and here we go.
Hi, Nutcracker Nick.
And yes, Nutcracker Nick, I remember you. And you're out there roaming around in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
One of them is yours.
Trying to find out where people who want to stay relatively dry are going to be housed. And I visited Depot Park. They're taking some of the overflow from the San Lorenzo River benchland. They're taking a small number. They have 25 tents set up. These are people's personal tents set up in the Depot Park parking lot, sort of by the Scott Kennedy artificial turf soccer field, right?
Uh-huh.
The people seem pretty happy, some of them, that this was happening to them. But I think they might change their mind when they find out a rainstorm comes in and they're not on pallets. They just got their tents directly on the asphalt of the parking lot, and there is a slight gradient. So the water's going to run under their tents. That's not very satisfactory, if you ask me.
Hmm. How many, you say there are about 25 tents,
yeah,
or 25 people?
Various sizes, tiny ones, and some look like the very middle class, good quality tents. But they're all the personal tents of the homeless.
Now, are the city giving out any tents or blankets?
No.
Or?
Actually, some of these tents had been supplied from the county health clinic in Emmeline Street Complex.
So that would be the county rather than the city, yeah. Okay.
Oh, those would be county ones, and some had been available through another source in the city. Oh, Coral Street. I guess they mean the big shelter there.
Mm-hmm. The housing smidgens.
Housing matters.
Mm-hmm.
Housing splatters, whatever it is.
Housing mutters, yes.
Housing mutters, yeah.
So, did you talk to many of the people there?
Not many, because I had to go to an appointment regarding my own shelter.
Right.
Applying for a sex mate housing
Is that okay?
Now, are you still working for the Association of Faith Communities?
Well, I'm not working for them, but I'm inside the system.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the AFC shelter project.
Do you have any reports?
We're only down to about 10 or a dozen people. That's all we have in our church shelter program.
You know anything about their parking, safe parking program?
I don't know that. I don't follow that. That's run separately by different personnel, yeah.
Yeah, because I haven't heard heard more complaints, but who knows? I might may not be getting the full story. So,
I think that's a mixed bag. Some people are very satisfied with it, and some people have been kicked out of the program and didn't understand why they've been kicked out. I don't know if there's some personal thing going on there.
Yeah, I understand Alicia Kuhl of the Homeless Union was denied access to the program. She was concerned about that.
She has a bad reputation for being an argumentative radical activist.
Could be. Though I wouldn't think that would be a good reason to kick her out. Maybe a good reason to harness her abilities, you know.
Yeah, and she's got kids that she's looking after. You'd think they would want to protect her or offer her a reasonable space.
Indeed. So,
I hope that wasn't a political decision on their part. I really do hope that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I think that's what she thinks, but I don't know what basis. I'm not sure of the basis, except that she has been pretty much harassed by people, by the parking meter people and so forth.
Yeah, sure.
And her people who are attached to her family have suffered assaults and seizures by police and... after all, she and the Homeless Union sued the city successfully for a while and held them at bay for 6 months in the San Lorenzo Park.
That's right. There could be some resentment behind the scenes.
It could be.
But I can't substantiate that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Although we should probably talk to her about it. Maybe I will. I think I spoke to her last night. Maybe it's time to get her on the line again. There was something I wanted to ask you, if I can remember it, but maybe... have to let it wait for another time. I think so.
Now, my mind's a bit weary. I've had a long day. Had to wake up at 5:30 this morning and start taking the trash out of the church shelter and cleaning the bathroom and spraying the mats down for hygienic reasons. That's what life is like in the shelter.
Are you getting paid for this, or is this volunteer work?
No, everybody has to take on tasks. But the thing is, though, although we're a small group, several of the men and a couple of the women are not physically totally capable. They're handicapped people.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot falls on those of us who are fit and can do work, do tasks. But that's just an odd combination of people. I don't think they're homeless because they're handicapped. It just happens to be.
Well, I appreciate the report. I'm going to roll and try to put this on to the sort of scotch tape it onto the rest of the report I'm putting out for the 6 o'clock show.
Yeah, I don't want to think that leave the impression that the church shelter AFC program is unduly harsh. It's just that these churches have to get us out early, some of them, because they have children's school starting up or church meetings. It's usually connected with school kids coming in, and they need the space, you know.
All right. Well, I will I'll pass that on to the critics and see what they have to say.
And they are very helpful. The coordinators of the program are very helpful in trying to get us Section 8 vouchers and get us to qualify for comfortable living space down the road.
How many people have actually qualified that you're aware of?
Several have successfully moved out of the shelter program after being in it for a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years even.
Out of how many?
I think about 5 out of the 20 that I've known have qualified. And it's principally because there's more money coming in from the state.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I will talk to you when you call me again. or when I call you.
I've been working with you, and I've enjoyed working with Kevin and strolling around with him. He's a very good company to be with.
Well, say hello to him for me.
Okay.
All right.
See you down the line, Robert.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we're going to go out on one of David Rovick's songs,